I just wanted to kind of run through the words that came on the 13th of this month. I saw myself inside Jesus with my hands and fingers holding on to Jesus' hands, just like my hands were in a glove. Whatever Jesus did with his hands, I would be doing also. My legs and feet were in his legs and feet. Wherever he walked, I would be walking also. I wasn't walking in his footsteps, I was walking in his steps, in his feet. And when he spoke, we were one voice. I didn't have any thought of my own. They were all his thoughts. I felt what he felt. I had no fear. He was my armor and strength and shield. There was no worry, anxiety, just peace. The Holy Spirit word, come to me. I'm sorry. The Holy Spirit would get me all stirred up, and I would begin to praise and worship God. And when I sang, my voice was so beautiful, and I was amazed. Some of the things I would see through Jesus' eyes would break my heart. But there was always a sense of excitement to see what WHE were going to do next. He told me to write WHE, meaning we and he. The Holy Spirit gave the power. Jesus acted. I was like the joints and the tendons that moved inside him. My part was meaningful. The Father was in Jesus, and we were one. I and my brothers and sisters in Christ are doing greater works than when Jesus was on earth, when we abide in Jesus, John 14:12. Jesus says, on the outside, so he gets the glory, and when I get out of joint, I mess up God's plan. But when I let the Holy Spirit lubricate me, I love that word, and have his way, everything runs smoothly, and God gets his work done through me. I think tonight was a perfect example of watching the oil, because I heard to make sure that those fire things were going to be floating around the room. So you weren't here, Linda, but God told me to take that banner, and I flew it around the whole room. Okay? And then Rick, of course, had this special music all set up for tonight, which, by the way, I will be listening to tomorrow on my way to Maine. But I didn't know about the word truth that you were going to be spreading out. And all I heard was, you see that banner over there? Take it down, roll it up. And my first thought was, well, you're going to eliminate the 10 and make it 1. And I didn't hear anything except go ask your sister to help you roll it up. And the word that came out was truth. And of course, then the song that came was the lubricant, because it stressed the word truth. Every single member buying that bread, obeying. These little things that you think are absolutely silly will definitely keep the body of Christ moving forward in obedience. Now, the word he gave me tonight was an encouraging word out of the Amplified, and this afternoon I heard the word Amos. So I went to the book of Amos, and I heard Amos 9. I kind of read the chapter, and I said, okay, and I went back out in the realm of the Spirit. I was gone for maybe 20 minutes, a half an hour, I don't know, I lost track. And as I came out of the Spirit, I heard verse 11. So that's where we're going. Amos chapter 9, verse 11. It says, in that day will I raise up the tabernacle of David, the fallen hut or booth, and close up its breaches, and I will raise up its ruins. I will build it as in the days of old. Or, in case you don't know, it's on page 1038, my Bible.
Thank you.
Yeah, I thought that would help. If I would have told you that at the beginning, I would have got you real confused, right? Yeah. All teasing aside, I has a circle around it in my Bible because I put a big circle around I will raise up its ruins. I will build it as in the days of old. Now, for many years, I had no idea what this tabernacle of David was. But later on, by tidbits of different information from different books, the word Zion helped me tremendously. When I understood Zion, it was a big help this past fall. I had heard it before, but it had never clicked in. You know, when you get that little click, and you finally understand what God is speaking, Zion is that exact place where the tabernacle of David was set up. It was the highest peak in the city. Okay? The special place where God had ordained that the saints would have freedom. And guess what? That's where the Holy of Holies was exposed to the people. Get a clue. The Holy of Holies was not hidden behind a wall. It wasn't in a booth by itself. It was totally open. And the men and the women were together. And guess what? Even the Gentiles came to see. It was open to the non-Jew. Can you imagine? That was the tabernacle of David. It was not restricted to those who were under the law. That's something exciting. That's a freedom place. A place where all those that come can worship openly. He had all these people trained as musicians and singers and praisers and dancers. Why do you think he got in trouble with his wife? Your skirt's too short, your legs are showing, the girls are jealous. And he danced before the Lord with all his might. All right, now what does that mean? That was freedom. And can you just imagine the procession? He was leading the ark. He was the king of the nation. And he was representing the Most High. Think about it. The Son of God would be called the Son of David. Think about the freedom Jesus had. But he could not display it like his Father and the Spirit could. His Father in the Spirit is really King David. It is Hosanna to the highest and welcome to the Son of David. Why were they welcoming the Son of David into the Jerusalem? Why? Because there was a connection. He was a king, so was David. He had freedom, so did David. Were they persecuted? Yes. Did they have a hard time? Welcome to the club. Many years ago, I kept saying to the Lord, what happens between the age of 13 to 30? I really did. I was nosy. I bugged him. Did you ever bug the Lord about any of these things? I did. He said, look at my father's heart. So when you look at the heart of David, you see the heart of Jesus. When you see the persecution of David, you see the persecution of Jesus in the growing years, and now you don't have a missing link anymore. Because what David went through, Jesus went through. The rejection, the lack of acknowledgement, it's all there. And the humility was there. Is there anything exciting about being a carpenter's helper? I've been there. You've been a helper before. Is there anything exciting about being a helper to a mechanic? Well, it's exciting for the first few days, but after a while it gets ho-hum. So, why is it important? I will raise up its ruins. I will build it as in the days of old, that they may possess the remnant of Edom and of all the nations that are called by my name, says the Lord who does this. Acts 15 confirms it. We'll go there after. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper and the treader of grapes him who sows the seed, and the mountains shall drop sweet wine, and all the hills shall melt. That is, everything heretofore barren and unfruitful shall overflow with spiritual blessings. There's your fruit, girl. And it's confirmed in Leviticus 26 and Joel 3. And I will bring back the exiles of my people, Israel, and they shall build this waste cities and inhabit them. And they shall plant vineyards and drink the grape juice from them. They shall also make gardens and eat the fruit of them. And I will plant them upon their land, and they shall no more be torn up out of their land, which I gave them, says the Lord your God. There's a lot there, but I think we need to be aware that God is doing a work of rebuilding. And as the work of rebuilding is being done, there's also a real war against the believers and against the Israelites. But in spite of the war that goes on, the war that they had in Lebanon, the war that they had just a few months ago, it's not finished yet. They're still angry because of the restoration that's going on. And when I got this little pamphlet that came in this week, which I will pass on to you, you guys can take a peek at it. It's a little report from our friends in Israel. And they're talking about war and weddings. And they had five weddings, and there's pictures of the five couples, which is very sweet. But then, also on the inside is some photographs of the help that they gave to those who were in trouble. And the believers from the north that they visited. So I will leave that with you so you can look at it and you can bring it to Bob. But it's also going right along with what I felt that the Lord was saying when he said verse 11. Because this is where the restoration of the land that is actually taking place. We have a need at some point that God will supply a home for us. I don't know the fullness of what the inside is going to look like, but I like what my sister saw. And I don't know if it's the way that it is described exactly, because spiritual visions and the reality of things can be what? Different, correct. Because God speaks to us in a dark language in hopes that we will wait on Him to get it confirmed. And He's shown that to us multiples of times. Even being here is an example of that. So, you understand that the days are coming where the plowman shall overtake the reaper and the treader of grapes him who sows the seed. In other words, there's an acceleration of time and an acceleration of things in the realm of the Spirit. Now, when God first began to show me some of this stuff years ago, He reminded me that when He accelerates on one side, it happens on the other side as well. You cannot have the realm of the Spirit open up to you and see only the heavenly things and not the demonic. It's going to happen on both sides. You're going to see both. When you have an acceleration, it's going to accelerate in the negative as well as in the... Why? Because the Lord said, when I open a door, it's open for both sides. So you're going to see an acceleration of garbage as well as an acceleration of grace. Which doesn't sound good, but I can guarantee you this. When you see the garbage, first of all, in yourself, you can do something about it. Some people are now beginning to really look at themselves and saying, well, maybe it isn't quite what I believed. Maybe God is interested in me. Maybe I can get a change in my heart. Maybe I can be transformed if I listen to the Lord. Maybe I can reach out to the Lord. He's not that complicated. So, you see, you're going to have both sides. You're going to have darkness increasing, but you're also going to have light. And the light will irritate. Yeah, he can't help it. So, you know, this is, to me, good news to see that the Lord is rebuilding what he promised. And it's not just natural Israel that's being rebuilt. It's spiritual Israel. And we are that body of Christ. That body of Christ is going to be Jewish. It's going to have Jewish tinge to it. Because why? Jesus was Jewish. The feasts are Jewish. And they were of the Father first. They became Jewish because people ended up transforming them to make them their feasts. I can recall that when the celebrations of things that we've done now for years and years, as Christmas was running closer and closer, I said to my wife, you know, I don't see any manger scenes on the front yards of anybody. I see Santa Clauses, I see snowmen, I see flakes, I see this, I see that. But I don't see what I used to see. I didn't. Then I talked to Pastor Yvonne, and I talked to her again today. She said to say hi, and she'll be with us soon. But I went shopping because I had a desire to buy a manger scene for one of my grandsons, and then I decided I'd like to buy them each one. Well, guess what? I couldn't find any that were something I would spend any nickels on. They were so poor in taste that I wouldn't put them up anywhere. And it was junk or plastic stuff to put outside in the front yard that I, again, would not do. So I said to the Lord, you know, the darkness is taking over what Christmas used to be. Not that I'm focused on Christmas only, but the bottom line is what Christmas used to mean and be has been lost. It's been slipping away and stolen by the enemy. Well, what happened to the tabernacle of David? Did it slip away? And by the time Jesus came, what did they have? Rules, regulations, laws made by men in order to control God. Guess what the church did? Rules made by men to control who? God. And rule the people through fear. Amen? So you have the same pattern in Israel as you do now. You've got religious folks that, I'm not condemning them now, they're doing their best, but it is a lineup of fear tactics. So instead of freedom, you've got a church bound by rules and regulations in order to produce fear tactics in order for them to what? Control. And is the freedom that God gave them still there in seed form? Underneath it is, but is it visible or allowed? No, it's not allowed. Now, is that a condemning thing to them? Absolutely not. If you spoke that to them, they would be what? Highly offended. And by rights, I've been there, I've lived in that place, and I was at one time highly offended when somebody started to shake my religious tree. Did you ever have a religious tree? I had ornaments everywhere. It was beautiful as far as I was concerned, and I could worship at it anytime I wanted to. I could bow down and see that religious tree right in front of me. It was perfect as far as I was concerned. Okay. But then the Lord started to take the ornaments off, and then he took off all the little lights, and he gave me one of these great big spotlights. And I saw I didn't have any freedom. I shared with Bob the other day my first experience about the Lord telling me, after the Holy Spirit was in my heart, that I had to lift up my hands like the priest in front of the Lord. And oh man, these hands, they didn't want to come up. It's like I had 1,000-pound weights underneath each one. And I was accustomed to lifting up refrigerators and stoves and living room sets and whatever I had to lift. I had no problems. But to lift my two hands before the Lord to worship him, there was no way I could do it. And I remember I asked and cried out to the Lord for grace. And yes, we were in the Catholic Church, and all of a sudden the Lord says, now's the time for saying the Our Father. So the excuse was I could grab my wife's hand, see, and get away with it. That's grace. So I grabbed her hand and I went this far. And then I heard, now don't be afraid, you can lift up the other one too. And I mean, it was a major struggle to get this one to come up this high. And then I had a wonderful demon spirit whisper in my ear, everybody's looking at you. You see? And they're all going to talk about you when they leave church. And guess what I told him? It's okay, they're talking about me anyway. And they were. Because I had become a fanatic. So what happens is when you're surrounded, and I'm not picking on Catholics, no, don't get me wrong. I was one, and I still am. I'm not a protester. I'm not protesting them. But I can say to you, there is a better way. There's a way of freedom that God is about to bring in. And he's going to bring unity in the body. By what? By love, not by the law. The law of truth is love. The law of fear brings torment. And it brings control. I don't want that for you. And I don't want it for me. And I don't want it for your loved ones. Just to accent, let's go to that book of Acts. Acts 15. Just want to confirm that word to you. When Paul and Barnabas in Acts chapter 15 had no small disagreement, etc. So they were what? Human. When they arrived in Jerusalem, they got instructions. Okay? And then it says, verse 15, and with this the prediction of the prophets agree, as it is written, after this I will come back and will rebuild the house of David, which has fallen. I will rebuild it, very ruins. I will set it up again, so that the rest of men may seek the Lord, and all the Gentiles upon whom my name has been invoked, says the Lord, who has been making these things known from the beginning of the world. So it's been procedural. It's been going forward a little bit at a time. And there's your Amos 9:11 confirmed in your Amplified Bible. So now, what has that got to do with 2006, closing it up? I believe you need to get ready for 2007. For an acceleration of the things of God in your heart first. Because it starts with me and you. An excessive freedom. Excessive freedom. What is excessive freedom? Exaggerated freedom. Freedom to do. I've never run around with a banner, but I did tonight. Why? Because the Lord said, take it and run. Then, of course, I gave it away, which, that was fun.
Thank you.
Yeah. So would you do me a favor? Would you just bow your heads and would you just agree with me in prayer? Precious Father, we are willing vessels. We, not only these, but those that are listening to this message over the internet. Father God, do a mighty work of acceleration for 2007. Prepare our hearts to get excited about obedience. Prepare our hearts to run with your word in freedom. To kick our feet up in the air. To jump up high and to declare that Jesus Christ is Lord and Master of all. And that he's given us freedom to obey and to release the visions and to release the words of knowledge. And to be a part of the body that is free to obey so that the joints get lubricated. Say, Lord, I'm a joint. Lubricate me. Keep me flexible and obedient. For your glory, Lord. Not for my glory. So that it's Jesus in me doing a mighty work. Through me doing a mighty work as well. By his Spirit. By the instructions of my Father. For the glory of the Most High.
For the glory of God.
Amen.
Amen
and amen.